This episode of Check the Locks is brought to you by my friends at Audible. Audible is your one-stop shop for audio entertainment, where you can always find the best of what you love or discover something new. Audible offers an incredible selection of audiobooks across every genre, from mysteries, thrillers, biographies, and of course, true crime. And as an Audible member, you can choose one title a month from their catalog to keep forever, including the latest bestsellers and new releases. Audible members also get access to thousands of podcasts from popular favorites, exclusive new series, and this very podcast, Check the Locks, that you're listening to now. Plus, the Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere. Best of all, Check the Locks listeners can try Audible for free for 30 days. That's a whole month. So head over to audibletrial.com/checkthelocks or click the link in the show notes to start enjoying Audible today.
Warning, Check the Locks podcast is a true crime podcast and may contain graphic descriptions of violence, murder, sexual assault, and more. Check the Locks podcast is not appropriate for all listeners. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
In 2015, a young woman locked her door, trusted the system, and went to bed. By the morning, she was dead, and the threat had been watching her all along. Join me, John Connor, as I discuss the murder of Sasha Samsudian. This is Check the Locks Podcast. Hello, and thank you for joining me as I dive into yet another truly terrifying true crime case. Before we get started, I just hope everyone is doing okay from this massive winter storm that we are all recovering from. I truly apologize for not having an episode for last week. Just going to be honest with you, the internet was not the strongest. And then, you know, we just had everybody home kind of on top of each other for the last week. Millie's school has been closed. She hadn't been back to school in 9 days. So there's been a lot going on. And I know that we were very lucky. We didn't lose power, anything of that nature. So we were able to stay warm and the heat kicked on and everything like that. But I know a lot of people weren't as lucky. So I really do hope everybody is okay. If you lost power, you were able to stay warm and everything is back working the way that it should be now. It's just, it was absolutely crazy. I will tell you, my Michigan man kicked in. I did have the cleanest driveway out of the entire city in which I live in. I was out there with a shovel, which probably led me to getting the viral funk that you might hear in my voice now. So we had the storm, and then I was actually on the couch for about 3 or 4 days, just completely knocked out. So with all that being said, again, just hope that you're doing okay. Hope you're warm. If there was any damage, or I know there was a lot of downed trees and things like that, you know, hope we're able to get those taken care of. And again, just making sure that everybody's safe out there. But with that out of the way, let's go ahead and talk about this week's case. I'll be honest with you, I hadn't heard about this case. And as I was going through the research, I was like, man, I'm really surprised I didn't know anything about this. So I'm kind of wondering if the listeners, the locksmiths, are going to have the same reaction. But with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and quit the Gabby Gabby, get into the Stabby Stabby. Again, hope y'all are staying warm. And let's break down this week's episode. In 2015, 27-year-old Sasha Samsudian was living in Uptown Place condominiums. Located in Orlando's downtown entertainment district, the building was modern and secure, equipped with 24/7 surveillance cameras and key codes to every unit. Sasha Samsudian was born in New York in 1988. Her family would relocate to Orlando, where Sasha would grow up. She would graduate from the University of Florida before taking a job with a real estate company, specializing in Orlando entertainment rentals. The career was a perfect match for Sasha. She was an energetic and outgoing woman who loved making connections, and she considered herself the Cupid of apartment hunting, taking pride in finding her clients their dream apartments. In the early morning hours of October 17th, Sasha was out with friends, enjoying a night at Orlando's Attic nightclub. She would eventually leave for the evening and head home, planning to get breakfast with her friend, Anthony Roper, in the morning. But when the time came, Sasha never showed. Anthony called and texted, but Sasha didn't respond. He even tried to reach her through social media, which Sasha used frequently, but still, just silence. Anthony's concern only grew. So later that day, he and two other friends drove to the Uptown Place condominiums. They found Sasha's car in the parking lot, but their worry grew when they noticed a present sitting in the back seat. Sasha was supposed to have gone to a baby shower that day, and the present in the car meant she never attended the party. The concerned group entered the building and knocked on her door, but Sasha didn't answer. Later that evening, there was still no response, so Anthony decided to call the police, requesting a welfare check to be done. Police arrived at Sasha's condo and made entry. The strong smell of bleach was the first thing that the officers noticed. As they made their way through the unit, they arrived at the bedroom, and it was there that they made a devastating discovery. Lying in her bed was the body of Sasha Samsudian. She was partially clothed and wrapped in her comforter. Her shirt and bra had been ripped away, and her pants and underwear were missing. It would later be determined that Sasha had been strangled. The medical examiner would also find signs of blunt force trauma to her head, as well as upper and lower body abrasions, indicating that the 27-year-old had been forcefully restrained. It appeared that whoever had murdered Sasha had tried to use bleach to wipe away any evidence, but investigators noticed some other strange clues. First of all, the toilet seat was up, which detectives found odd as Sasha was a single woman living alone. This indicated that a man may have been inside the apartment. The toilet was dusted and fingerprints were found underneath the lid. A thumbprint was also located on Sasha's nightstand. Investigators were also able to find a partial shoe print inside the home, and they found that Sasha's phone and keys were missing. Additionally, swabs were done on the victim's neck and body, revealing the presence of foreign DNA. Now, police initially questioned Anthony Roper, and he shared with investigators that he had been out with Sasha the night that she died, but she had left the Attic nightclub at around 12:30 a.m. Detectives wanted to access the condominium security footage, but the videos were not available at the time, so they decided to speak with a security guard who was on duty the night that Sasha was murdered, Stephen Duxbury. Now, according to Duxbury, Sasha had arrived home with two other women, but she was unable to produce an ID or key card, so he was not able to let her inside the building. Duxbury then said that he had witnessed Sasha enter the building behind another resident who had keyed in. According to the security guard, he ended his shift and left at 6 a.m. that morning. Investigators were able to track down the two women who were with Sasha that night. They told detectives that they had seen Samsudian walking down the street from inside of an Uber. She was obviously intoxicated, so they offered her a ride home. When they arrived, they waited for her to enter the building and then left, assuming that she was safe at home. Investigators were also able to identify the man that Sasha had followed inside the building. He was willing to provide a DNA sample and was ultimately cleared, but he shared that Sasha appeared pretty drunk. And just as the case seemed to be approaching a dead end, detectives finally got a solid lead when an upstairs neighbor came forward. They claimed to have seen Sasha Samsudian on the night that she was killed. The neighbor said that she was walking down the hallway, and she was being followed by Stephen Duxbury. Investigators were finally able to view the CCTV footage, and what they witnessed contradicted the security guard's claim. In the video, Sasha could be seen wandering the exterior floors and stairways of the building. Trailing behind her, and sometimes walking with her, was Stephen Duxbury, stalking Sasha for nearly 40 minutes, using his own key card to enter locked doors as he followed. Seemingly aware of the fact that security cameras didn't cover some of the common areas of the building. At 6:36 a.m., Duxbury was seen on camera again. This time, he was holding two white trash bags with red drawstring handles and still in his uniform. He walked through a doorway leading to the second floor garage where his car was parked, and when he returned, the trash bags were nowhere to be found. Now, a few things about this stood out to detectives. First, trash disposal was not one of the security guard's responsibilities. Second, the video clearly contradicted Duxbury's claim that he had left at 6 a.m. And when investigators searched Sasha's apartment, they found that exact type of trash bag. Stephen Duxbury was now the prime suspect in Samsudian's murder, but detectives would need more evidence. So they obtained a search warrant for both his home and his phone. They found that on October 17th at around 5 a.m., Duxbury used his phone's browser to find information on how to override a quick-set digital lock. This is the same type of lock that Sasha had on her unit door. Now, this was at the same time that the security guard was absent from the footage for roughly 90 minutes. Detectives also learned that Duxbury had provided his fingerprints to his employer when he was hired, and when comparing them to the prints found on the toilet seat and nightstand, they matched perfectly. Additionally, the soles of Duxbury's shoes matched the partial print found inside the apartment. But the most damning evidence of all would be the DNA. A sample from Duxbury was run against the sample found on Sasha's breast, and again, it was a perfect match. But the security guard continued to claim that he was innocent, telling investigators that he never entered Sasha's apartment, even offering to take a polygraph, a test that he would ultimately fail, with his answers reading as dishonest. On October 30th, 2015, Stephen Duxbury was arrested and charged with first-degree murder, attempted sexual battery, and burglary. The trial would take place in November of 2017 and would last for only 6 days, during which the prosecution painted their theory for the jury. They argued that Sasha Samsudian entered her apartment, crawled into bed, and fell asleep. And it was then that Stephen Duxbury was able to override the quickset lock and enter the apartment, before attempting to sexually assault Sasha and strangling her. When he was finished, he attempted to wipe the evidence away using bleach. Now, the defense argued that the evidence was mostly circumstantial, but in the end, the jury sided with the prosecution, finding Stephen Duxbury guilty and sentencing him to life in prison. But for Sasha's parents, Tara and Ken Samsudian, this was only the beginning of accountability for their daughter's murder, and the couple would file a lawsuit against both the condominium complex and the security company. Stephen Duxbury had been hired by Vital Security in 2015, and while he passed the necessary background checks, he soon became the subject of several complaints from residents. In fact, in May of 2015, just months before Sasha's death, a young female tenant claimed that Duxbury had followed her back to her apartment, saying that he was, quote, acting sketchy. For the Samsudians, Stephen Duxbury was their daughter's killer, but the warning signs have been missed. And though they will never truly recover from losing their daughter, they have worked to help others, speaking at the National Crime Victims' Rights Week in 2018.
This is the new Weight Watchers. It works for members like JoJo, who's learning simple, healthy habits, Sharia, who's making progress with meds, and Kim, who still gets to eat what she loves. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Watch your life open up. Watch your story shift. Watch what you're capable of. Watch it work. Get started today at WeightWatchers.com.
So that's this week's case. And as always, I wanted to share some final thoughts before I jumped into the deadbolt test. But as I mentioned in the beginning of this episode, I was not familiar with Sasha's case before. And as I was going through, I kind of felt my heart aching a little bit. You know, it's this young woman. She's not even 30 years old yet. She's graduated from college. She's carving out a career. She's doing well at what she does and earning a reputation. And she's out with friends, having a good time. You know, she's just enjoying her life, and she's in that part of your life where you're excited about the future and you're building those things for what your life is going to look like. And you go out and you have a couple of drinks and come home, lock the door, crawl into bed, and you go to sleep just thinking that everything is okay. And you have no idea that the person who is paid to protect you is the person who has decided they're going to get what they want, even if that means you lose your life. And there is something absolutely terrifying about that to me. I've talked about it before on the podcast before, but home invasion is, that's just the thing that kind of gets under my skin. Like, your home is supposed to be your sanctuary. It's supposed to be where you feel the safest and you can fully relax and feel comfortable. And, you know, in Sasha's case, she's got the digital locks, right? She's paying for a condominium with security. Like, this is 24/7 video recording, and this should be a safe place. And it just goes to show that if somebody really wants to hurt you, they're going to figure out how to do it, you know? So this one, like I said, it really made my heart hurt as I was going through it. And, you know, kind of thinking about this as Sasha's parent, you know, myself being a husband, being a father, like, I know one day my daughter is going to grow up and she's going to strike out on her own. You know, she's going to have her own apartment the same way that I have my own apartment, and the same way that, you know, my wife had moved out on her own when she was in college, you know. And these are things I think that are going to pop into my head when these big moments happen. I don't know if that is a curse, or, you know, if it's going to, you know, allow me to have some harder conversations with her because I spend my time researching these cases and then talking about them on this podcast. But, you know, I can't imagine the hurt that they must have been going through, and the way that their world must have shattered. And I think they are 110% totally within their rights to file that lawsuit. Now, I will tell you, I did look to see if I could find any outcome on that lawsuit. I haven't been able to find it. If, you know anything about this case, or you're in, you know, or the Orlando area and you're familiar with this and you know how it panned out, please reach out, because I would love to know, if it ended out working out in their favor. But, you know, especially even if this guy passed the background checks, right? Duxbury was able to pass the background. This company hired him. As soon as those complaints start coming in, they are guilty of not acting on that, you know, and not investigating it. And because they did not look into Duxbury months before Sasha lost her life, unfortunately, these tragic events unfolded. So it just seems like a failure of the security company. You know, there's not security cameras everywhere there should be in the condominium complex. So it seems like a failure there. And, you know, all of this led to Sasha losing her life. And it just sucks. It's sad, and it was hard to go through. So for me, again, you know, just thinking about this through the lens of what if this was my child or my wife, or, you know, we've all stayed at Airbnbs and, you know, have traveled. And I know, you know, there's all sorts of hack videos on how to make sure, you know, no one can break into your hotel door and all that stuff. Like, we've all been outside of our natural comfort zone, or maybe had experience with this. And again, for Sasha, she was home. This was her place that she shouldn't have to worry about this. So when I think about it through the lens of a parent and losing someone you love in a place that they should be safe, for me, this is definitely going to be a 10 across the board. But as always, I want to hear from you, the listeners, the locksmiths. Where does the murder of Sasha Samsudian fall on your deadbolt test? Please let me know. Reach out on Instagram at Check the Locks Pod. You can find me on Twitter at Check the Locks. And if you're not in our Facebook group, what are you doing? Come hang out with us. I will tell you this, during the snowstorm and kind of the uncertainty, it felt so amazing to be part of our little community, because everybody was kind of sharing their experience and being really uplifting to each other. And, you know, someone even invited me to, you know, if I needed to, I could come to their farm. So huge shout out and thank you for that. I appreciate the kindness and the willingness to host if needed. Again, luckily it didn't get to that point, but I say that to say that our Facebook group is an amazing community filled with amazing people. And if you fit that criteria, we would absolutely love to have you. So if you are interested in signing up for the Facebook group, there is a link in the description of the episode that you're listening to now. Click that link, answer a few questions, and then we'd absolutely love to have you. And as always, if you like the show, you want to help financially support what I do, you can do so by becoming a patron. Head over to patreon.com/checkthelocks and get signed up today. Got a lot of great tiers, exclusive benefits. You get the episodes a little early. You get them commercial free. So if you love Check the Locks, but you hate those ads, Patreon is the way to go. So again, if you want to help, you know, fund the show, patreon.com/checkthelocks, get signed up today. And as I always say, if you can't financially support the show, I definitely understand. Just listening and hanging out with me and letting me be a part of your day, sharing the show with your friends, your family, the people who are important to you, means just as much, if not more. So if that is you and you're letting people know to listen and that the show exists, just know that I appreciate you more than I could ever tell you. Again, a show like this is all about that grassroots growth. And if you're telling people to check it out, that's exactly what happens. It just brings people into our community. So again, if you're telling people about the podcast or sharing it in any way, just know that I appreciate you more than I could ever tell you. That's all that I have for you for this week's case, but please make sure that you're subscribed to Check the Locks on your favorite podcast app so that you never miss an episode. I will see you again next week with another truly terrifying true crime case. But until then, remember, monsters are real. So stay safe, stay ready. Don't forget to check the locks. See you next week.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s.
Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects.
With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last. Get started today for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com.